Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning and welcome in, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on this Monday, July 6th. Hopefully your long holiday weekend was fun, productive, safe, and everyone enjoyed themselves. Ate some meat off the grill, saw a firework or two. Danny, how you doing?
We did all right this weekend, my friend. We did all right. The thing that I think people have, I won't say underestimated, because everybody with kids knows this, especially if they've reach a certain age or they're kind of in a window, in between like 2 and say 8, 9, 10 years old, they've forgotten how to be social with each other. Like, kids have forgotten how to interact with other kids. Like, I know some families will play together, but it's still sort of like very limited. But when you're in with an extended period of time with kids when they're around other kids, they've kind of forgotten how to socialize during this whole period. They're just sitting there stuck with their parents. So the amount of like peace treaty negotiation live action that we had to do for my little niece and my two insane boys over the course of the weekend, you just realize that this months and months and months of sort of sitting at home by ourselves, it's not good for anybody. I understand why it's happening. Settle down before you start yelling at me. I'm just saying there are consequences. And one of them is these kids kind of forget how to be kids and they forget how to socialize with each other. And it was a lot of dramatics, but it's good. We're getting ready to go to the beach this coming Friday, so it was nice to get a little teaser trailer, get a little out-of-town preview in town this weekend where we threw the kids together. But, it was interesting to watch. They basically, each one would claim every toy in the room, so no matter what toy was being played by another, there was conflict over that toy somehow. It was amazing.
It's not like riding a bike, right? You got to relearn some of those things.
Yeah, seriously, man. How about you guys?
Share. It's been great. We went down this weekend to Cape Charles here in Virginia, where I am now. It's a little water town on the bay in the eastern shore of Virginia. It's quaint. It is adorable. It's like out of a movie. So there's like a handful of little shops on the main strip of town that everyone goes to. There's a bakery that's open for like 9 minutes a day. So there's a line outside. You've got to run in and get your stuff and run out before they close immediately. It's like 9:30 in the morning, like on Saturday. We're walking around. Nothing's open until 11. It's one of those little towns. But it's a blast. It's fun. And 4th of July was perfect. So we're taking the dog on walks in the morning and the evening on the beach. And the baby's been really loving hanging out with their grandparents. So it's been a good time. But it's also been wacky. I don't know about you. I've probably had, and this is not shtick or like some big time bit, but like 25 requests over the last few days to do interviews on the Redskins name change and on everything going on in Washington, D.C. with Sean Doolittle's comments. And I was on a station in Toronto this morning on TSN and radio, and they said, let's go to the epicenter of the sports world, Washington, D.C., right now. And I thought, well, yeah, that's pretty true.
Yeah, it's
true. All the places to be doing sports talk radio right now, there's none quite like the nation's capital. There's a lot to get to today, and we'll cover it all. But before we get to the Redskins' name change and all the things that have taken place, our day off Friday, Saturday, Sunday over this three-day weekend. This just came down as we were going on the air. I'm sure you saw this. The
yep.
Nationals have canceled their workout today. And they've canceled their summer camp workout because Mike Rizzo and the team are frustrated and unable to get test results back from the weekend because Major
They're
League Baseball's
alone.
Protocol is already falling apart because mm-hmm. other teams are having the same issues. But Rizzo just released this statement to a bunch of reporters. Per MLB's protocol, all players and staff were tested for COVID-19 on Friday, July 3rd. 72 hours later, we have yet to receive the results of those tests. We cannot have our players and staff work at risk. Therefore, we have canceled our team workout scheduled for this morning. We will not sacrifice the health and safety of our players, staff, and their families. Without accurate and timely testing, it is simply not safe for us to continue with summer camp. Major League Baseball needs to work quickly to resolve these issues with their process and their lab. Otherwise, summer camp and the 2020 season are at risk, end quote. And that is the statement from President of Baseball Operations Mike Rizzo, who is not messing around.
Every word he said is correct. It's also a reminder. I don't know the specifics, okay? I don't know the specifics. I don't know if this could have been resolved at some point prior to this. I just know that the optics don't look very good. And here's what the optics are. You guys were fighting about money. You guys are fighting about pro rata. You guys were fighting about stuff that has to do with the CBA going forward and owners not wanting to pony up the dough and not getting enough games in and all this other kind of crap. This is what you should have been focused on. I don't know if it's apples to apples. I don't know if it's fair. I know this. You're trying to ramp this thing up, finally. You want us to celebrate it, like you guys are holding hands, singing Kumbaya, and everyone's in this together. And you can't get this part right. You can't get health and safety stuff right. You're basically just saying, here we go, let's see what happens. While four different NBA teams, I believe, have closed practice facilities. I think I've got that number right. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less at this point, but you've seen it. You've seen the issues all around Major League Baseball. Three or four teams, the Oakland A's, now the Nationals, can't get test results back in a timely manner. It's a joke. It's a joke. The only way this stuff was going to go off, the only way this stuff was going to be able to happen was if these logistics, which are challenging, mind you, they are. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But the only way this was going to happen is if this stuff was seamless, thoughtful, and professionally done. And it's not on any count.
Major League Baseball essentially guaranteed to the players and the teams that we'll be able to test all of you and you'll get those test results back and nobody's going to be at risk. And the Nationals' point is, listen, we took these tests on the 3rd. It's the morning of the 6th. We're supposed to be taking the field. If we don't know if that test result on the 3rd was positive or negative, why and how am I supposed to ask my players to go out and practice with guys who might have had COVID-19 on the 3rd and we just don't know it yet? So until we have those results back and you actually put this process in place to work correctly, efficiently, that you can execute the very process you told us would be seamless and no issue, we're not going to ask our players to take the field together. We don't know who's got COVID and who doesn't. So I give the Nationals a lot of credit here, but for Rizzo to go as hard as he did, you know how badly he wants baseball. You know how badly he wants all this to work. But for him to essentially give baseball an ultimatum here, where he says, look, if you can't get this figured out with your lab, not only is our summer camp at risk, but the 2020 season is at stake here. What a statement. And it just came down this morning, right before we went on the air on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. So we'll reach out to the Nats and see if we can get any more intel on that. And we'll certainly cover that story throughout the day. But, Danny, we got to start the show with the Redskins and the pending name change that now seems imminent. I mean, if it's possible, simultaneously, it feels like this has taken forever and is now moving a million miles an hour. And I don't know how to meet in the middle, but we kind of have that situation happening here. Like, if you would have come up to me on Wednesday and said, how's this all going to play out? I would have said, well, Snyder's going to keep ignoring everybody and ignoring the noise and putting his fingers in his ears, and we'll have this same conversation sometime next year. The difference this time, and we said this would be the case when FedEx came out and suggested the Redskins change their name, when sponsors start threatening to pull money, when it becomes about the cash for an owner, and Daniel Snyder, hearing from FedEx and from Nike and from Pepsi, and they're all making the suggestion first to change the name. Well, if you say no, then where does that go? Presumably, Danny, then they say, well, we need you to change the name. And so now Ron Rivera has come out, who runs this operation, and says, we've actually been talking about this for about a month. We're hoping we can do it before the start of the season. It doesn't seem like anymore we're debating whether or not the Redskins should or will change their name. They're going to change their name, right? It's over. I mean, we know it. This is happening. And question is, when? Is it next month? Is it in 2 months? Is it this offseason? Or will it have to wait till after the offseason? But, Danny, in the span of 48 hours, it is a thing. This is not a drill. It is happening. They will have a different name, right?
Yeah, we go off the air Thursday thinking, hey, this seems like this, it's got some momentum here. Wow, this is different this time. Then think about what happens. Ron Rivera's like, yeah, we've been thinking about it for a month. We got a couple names that we like. Yeah, these three minority owners of the Redskins won out because they hate Dan Snyder's guts. Yeah, Dan Snyder just sort of calls people in his Rolodex and waits for something that he likes and then puts them in his inner circle. I mean, the articles, the columns, the different things that have come out since you and I said, have a great fourth, everybody, on Thursday, remarkable, light speed. This is more than momentum. This is a done deal. I mean, can you imagine, by the way, just as a side, something that struck me as funny, when the Redskins released their statement where they go, we're gonna evaluate the name. Can you imagine if they came back and they went, actually, everything's fine. We evaluated. Everything's great. That would have been really funny to me. I know that would have pissed everybody off. But just, anyway, just thinking about that. This is light speed, and it's happening. And you get the sense, Rivera even mentioned this, I think, in one of his sets of comments, that they'd like this done before the season starts, or even before training camp, so it's not a distraction there. Whoa.
Well, he said it would be awesome if they could get it done before the start of the year. I don't think that's possible. I could be wrong. I don't think that that's realistic. I mean, I have to imagine there are some legal hoops to jump through, and if you're changing your logo and your name, you know, you've got to get the rights to some of those things. And I just think it's a much more arduous, difficult process than you wake up on Wednesday and on Thursday you're the Washington Red Hogs or whatever they're going to end up becoming. So I would bet against them having a different logo and a different name in week one this year. The momentum and the conversation right now is certainly that that's possible, and we'll see. But I absolutely, unequivocally feel like they are changing their name. And 5 days ago, that was not the feeling. I thought Dan will continue to drag this out and run the shot clock down, and he will act like a sixth grader when a song they don't like comes on at the dance, and he'll cover his ears and scream la-la-la at the top of his lungs. But you can't do that when that money starts to talk and walk. And that's what happened. This was no longer a hashtag. This was no longer a couple people picketing outside your stadium. He never cared about that. So maybe he'll come out and say, I've had an epiphany, I've had an awakening, and this was something we need to do for the betterment of the organization. But I don't think he's changed. I think it's as simple as FedEx and Nike taking your gear off their site, and Pepsi and anybody else said, hey, man, we can't keep giving you this money if your team name's the Redskins. And he said, well, I need that money. I said, okay, well, we got a fix for you. You could have a different team name. And then he said, okay, well, let's figure that out. So him and Rivera get to work on that. We can take your calls on how quickly this all happened after it was moving at a snail's pace for years. The phone lines are open at 800-636-1067 because we were off on Friday. We haven't really had a chance to discuss this with you guys. So your thoughts on where we're at right now with the Redskins name change on Grant and Danny, 800-636-1067. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
It is Grant and Danny for our pals at Window Nation. Vacations look more like staycations this year, with most people looking to reinvest their vacation bucks into their new homes. Window Nation is here to help you reinvest your dollars where it counts. Window Nation has reduced pricing on all window styles by 50%. They'll also defer your payments for 2 years with no money down. Pay nothing for 24 months. While it may not be a view of the ocean, Window Nation can promise you a better view of your home that puts your dollars to good use.
Window Nation people, they took great care of me. They took great care of Danny a couple of times over. And now it is your turn. New windows add to that curb appeal Danny was telling you about. The CDC guidelines that are strictly being followed right now make you feel safe when you get this done. Call them up at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com to schedule a free in-home or virtual estimate. See why 65,000 homeowners have chosen the perfect fit. Window Nation. Invest in a better view, 50% off, and no payments for 24 months is Window Nation. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your Monday. Hopefully your long weekend involved lots of sun, plenty of fun. Danny, the Redskins' name is changing. I have come to a conclusion. It seems like it took a while to get here, but then it all just happened with the snap of a finger. I mean, does any part of you think, though, that there is a chance, and I don't even like this phrase, but I'll use it because I don't have a better one, that this blows over for Dan Snyder?
Not
and that
time.
Somehow, some way, like you said, they kind of do this investigation, And he and Ron Rivera come back out, and they say, you know, we're going to spend the next year talking to some Native Americans and gauging their interest. And they just kind of slow play this thing, and that somehow appeases the sponsors, and maybe they're okay with it for now. And then a year from now, they're still the Redskins, and everybody moves on to something else. Is there any way that happens? Because that has been the playbook in the past, as you know, that they have gone to.
Yeah, they made the mistake years ago of, you know, giving the Mike Wises of the world the same platform that they had. They started debating in public. They started using the same forums and outlets to try to engage people. And folks that couldn't see the big picture kept going, they got a right to defend themselves. Of course they do. But what you're doing is you're welcoming attackers. You welcome every columnist. You welcome every national publication to take a stand on whether to use your team name or not. You welcome all that by bringing attention to it. When you put them on the same eye level as you, think like American Gladiators, that game called Joust, where you got like headgear on and you got the batons and you're smacking them and you're trying to stay balanced. When you give them the same weapons that you have, you make them equal to you in terms of standing. You don't do that. You never acknowledge it. You just take the air out of the football. They get tired and go on to the next thing for a little while, and the momentum goes away. People write columns about other stuff. That's how they should have done it all the time, if you're a Redskins name apologist or defender, whatever you want to call it, or if you wanted the team to not make any changes. And that's what they did for a long time, and they were really good at it. This was different. As you correctly pointed out, and we've talked about this before, when it starts to be, hey, it's less profitable this way, that's when you were going to get the change. And this happened, again, so quickly. We didn't know about the turmoil behind the scenes. We didn't know how dissatisfied Dan Snyder's partners were with him, even as their investment has increased fivefold basically since they bought in the early 2000s. It's unbelievable that we are here and we are here this rapidly. No, it's not blowing over. This is happening. And this is, you know, it's amazing to me. A number of things are amazing to me. But a guy that hasn't coached to practice yet. I mean, I like Ron Rivera. I'm a Ron Rivera fan. I'm glad he's here. I want him here. He has a coach to practice. There's been no training camps. He's 0-0. He's setting the business direction for the next 100 years for the Washington Redskins. It's amazing to me that this is where we are.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday. This will go on his ledger. And whether he has a lot to do with this or not, he will get a lot of credit for it, right? Because he shows up and a few months later, the team name is going to change. It's not lost on me, by the way. He's one of the four minority head coaches in football, and he's going to be way more open to this conversation, I believe. Not just because he's a minority, but because of what we know about his social stances and some of the things he said since he got here on other social movements than, say, Bruce Allen was. Previously, when Dan Snyder would go into his little cave, wherever he does whatever it is that he does, right? Drinking and hanging out with his buddies and talking football and throwing darts at pictures of media members or whatever. Bruce Allen was sitting there next to him, and he'd say, Bruce, what do you think about changing the name? And he'd go, we're not changing the name, Dan. Now that guy is Ron Rivera. And that guy would say, well, yeah, we probably should change the name, Dan. That's a factor. Like, to me, the fact that you have a minority head coach
correlation, yeah,
who is – of the belief, you have to imagine, based on what we know about Ron Rivera, who's already on record, said it would be awesome if they did it before the start of the season, it is certainly going to contribute. You're right, though. He has a borderline unprecedented amount of power for a head coach in this organization. We know this. Dan Snyder in the press conference, when he introduced Ron Rivera, said, we are going to try something different. This is a coaching-led, kind of coach-centered approach, like the Chiefs with Andy Reid and like the Patriots with Bill Belichick. Now, we could argue about whether or not Ron Rivera, who has not won a Super Bowl and has been to one and has a very mixed collection of results as a mostly kind of average team in Carolina with the Panthers, if he is deserving of that Andy Reid, Bill Belichick power, right? That's a debate that you could have. That's a fair debate. But that is what he has here. And because Bruce is gone, which is a good thing, you don't have a team president. And because they don't have a general manager and Kyle Smith, who's your director of player personnel, is kind of acting in that capacity, Ron Rivera is the team president, dealing with things like the name change. He's issuing the statements. This is where it would be nice to have someone in that role who's not a football person, a la a Bruce or someone who doesn't involve themselves in the football operation. So Rivera doesn't have to deal with
this.
La Famina would be perfect. He could be dealing with this. But instead, Rivera's doing this as the president, and he's the GM, and he's the head coach. But you're right, it is. You know, it's kind of crazy to see the power he's got. And make no mistake about it, the reason the name is changing is the very, very loud collection of people, however many there were, that didn't let this die. So you give them credit if you want to give someone credit. And more than anything else, more than even those people, FedEx, Nike, the companies that stepped forward here and said, Dan, we can't keep giving you money if the team name is the Redskins. And maybe also the D.C. lawmakers who said, Dan, you can't have a stadium here if you don't change the name. Because you know right. He wants to go back to D.C., which is another major factor. But to what Danny pointed out really quickly, I'll just say, in case you guys haven't heard this story, there are only three minority owners in this entire organization. Okay, so there's six people involved in the ownership group. It's Dan Snyder, his mother, his sister. That's half of the six. The other three people own 40%, and their names are Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Fred Smith. Rothman is a chairman and a CEO of Black Diamond Capital. Smith is the chairman and the president, CEO of FedEx. Those three guys, Schar has made a lot of his money in as the
it's
NBR
home builder.
Chairman yeah. as a home builder, so the fifth largest home builder in the country. Those three guys, apparently all three want out and want to sell their stock and their stakes in this team. Think about that. That is where what a reckoning this is for Dan Snyder, that in the same week he might have to change the name, and all three of his minority guys, according to the Washington Post and Pro Football Talk, want to sell their stakes in the team.
What a weekend. And again, a lot of fans won't care that much about this because it's, you know, wake me up at training camp or, you know, that Haskins complete the pass. I want to win games. And I understand that. But to folks that follow this meticulously and closely and sort of live and breathe this stuff, this is, I don't have a better word for this. This is amazing. This whole thing is absolutely amazing. The reveals over the weekend, the Liz Clark and Les Carpenter story, again, about Dan Snyder's inner circle and where he's getting advice from and how, you know, in a way, despite Bruce Allen's incompetence and kiss-assery and how bad he was as an executive, the organization kind of misses him in this moment. And it's what a bizarre, remarkable, not in a good way, weird time that we're living in. I mean, again, all you have to do when you buy into an NFL team is sit there. You just sit still. It doesn't matter if you win, lose, or draw. The value goes up. Again, five times what these guys paid, basically, on average. As Dan Snyder has been as incompetent and bumbling as any owner in all of sports. I mean, he's up there with James Dolan. He's up there with Jimmy Haslam. He's up there with some of the worst in terms of performance of his teams, the gong shows off the field. We know about the lawsuits and everything in between. And all that's happened is his investment is five times what he paid. All you have to do is sit there, and your net worth triples every, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And the fact that these guys want out right before a new stadium is coming, right before a rebrand, relaunch, you know, reintroduction to the marketplace is unbelievably telling to me. It's amazing.
Let's open up the phones next. 800-636-1067. I mean, this was like a piece of meat on the grill. You stared at it for 10 minutes and nothing happened. And then you close the top and you open it real quick and it's done, right? But are you surprised it seemed to take this long for any type of shift in paradigm with the organization, and now it's moving at this pace, where Rivera actually went publicly on record to say it would be awesome if the name changed before the start of this season? I don't know how that's possible, as training camp is about 3 weeks away. So, seems improbable, but there's a chance, I suppose, that they could have a different name come the start of training camp.
Wow.
Are you surprised with the pace with which this is all happening? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. For years, when we've talked about the Redskins changing their name on this show, we've debated, I guess first and foremost, should they? Is it necessary to do so? And secondly, when you get past that and we come to the conclusion, perhaps, well, why not? Let's see what they decide to do here. Will they? Is that something that Dan Snyder would actually do? Fast forward to today, and over the span of 3 days, that's no longer really the dialogue. The dialogue is, when is this going to happen? How soon will it happen? And what's their new name going to be? Because it seems very much imminent. Before we get to the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. And we could both give a couple thoughts on the fact that the name, it seems like, is changing. You know, for me, Danny, as a kid, right, growing up, I always thought my team name changing, the logo changing, would be heartbreaking, that I would never want that to happen, that it would feel like it was a different team. And as I've gotten older, that's not how I feel at all anymore. whether they're the Redskins or the Red Hogs or the Pigskins or the Red Tails or any of the other names that you've heard people talking about, it's not going to change how I feel about the organization. It won't change how I feel walking up to FedEx Field at 10:47 on a Sunday morning smelling hot dogs in the parking lot in the green lot. It won't change how I feel watching Ryan Kerrigan get a sack or Terry McLaurin catch a touchdown. And for me, when I think about the Washington Redskins over the years, right, I'm 32 years old. A lot of our listeners are my age or a little bit younger, a little bit older than me. They've basically been not just irrelevant for three decades, but mostly bad, you know, mostly incompetent for 30 years now, where they have not won. They've got two playoff wins, 99 and 05. That's the list. They have no playoff runs. They have no conference championship appearances. They have division titles where they've gone on winning streaks during average or worse seasons to win four or five in a row to get to 9 or 10 wins to win a bad Eastern division. That's kind of been the last 30 years, my entire life with this team. So while I think it will be harder for older fans who are at parades and who remember the Lombardi Trophy being hoisted, it'll be harder for them to give up the name and the logo. I'll be honest with you. People my age, it's not going to be that difficult. You're giving something up that has never really meant to me what it means to those people. Now, that's not to say I'm not sad to see it go or that I didn't love the logo, the name throughout my childhood, throughout my life. I didn't grow up a Redskins fan. I just think it's different. You know, if you ask the Patriots or the Steelers or these teams with these recent unbelievable memories, think about what we went through as a Caps fan or a Nats fan recently. How much you'll have that forever in your life. Redskins fans have that. It's Theismann, it's Riggins. But the great moments, the great games, the great highlights in this organization's history happened decades when ago. I was in diapers or younger, dude. So it's a fresh coat of paint, and I think it's a lot easier to put that paint on this wall after the last 30 years, to be honest with you. I really do. If they were good, if they were winning, if they'd won another Super Bowl or two in the last 12 years, I think it'd be really, really difficult. But because they've been so bad, I think it's easier to make this change.
I think it's a good point. I mean, it's what better time for a rebrand than when you've been awful and a joke and your fans are bailing? That's what's happening. And you could dress that up and pretend that that's not happening, but that's what's happening. Look at their home games. Look at their television ratings. They're getting beat in the local D.C. market by NFC East games that don't feature them. They're losing to the Ravens locally in terms of games watched, in terms of attendance. What better time to do it? And again, it's very fashionable and very funny for people to make fun of folks who like the team name, right? That you know, I don't do that, because here's where I come from on this. I very much understand having wonderful memories associated with that team and what they were called and what they accomplished. I was there. I lived through it. I don't begrudge that. I don't necessarily think it automatically makes you this horrible racist bigot that's plotting the demise of a race of people or anything else, right? You remember John Riggins, you remember Joe Theismann, you remember Doug Williams, you remember Timmy Smith and Darryl Grant and everybody that brought you joy. I understand that, and I get not wanting to let go of that. That's a reasonable thing. They're wonderful memories that you have and you carry with you. But I also understand this, the time that we're in, but B, the need for this, almost in a way, right? You've got to do something else. You're watching this ship slowly sink into the abyss, right? And even though the franchise value is going up every year, there's multiple billions, you can't get a new stadium. Nobody cares locally. Kids are growing up without giving a damn about you as a football team. They're fans of everybody else but you. A, that's the time we're in, but also B, you've stunk. You haven't had back-to-back winning seasons besides the occasional 9-7 and 8-7-1 over the course of Dan Snyder's leadership. 5 winning years in his 20 and change as an owner. It's been wretched and terrible. Why not? Why not start? Why not do a 2.0 at this stage? I get it. Some people are going to be pissed off. That's fine. You're trying to make an investment here in the future of the organization. I get it.
And I'll just say this, too, to all the fans who pretend like they'll never watch the team again. They'll never go to the games again. First of all, I don't believe you. I don't. I think you are the guy who says if fill-in-the-blank candidate wins the election, then you're moving to Canada. You ain't moving to Canada, dude. You're not going to live in Toronto or Ontario. You're not leaving. I'll still see you at the local Food Lion getting your muffins in the morning. I'll still see you at the line at the bank 6 months from now after your candidate lost. Nobody actually does that. You might know one or two people over the years that ever, you know, left because they were upset, but it's very, very rare. So I don't really believe there's going to be some mass exodus of people who just stop cheering for this team. Now, do I vilify people who don't want the name changed? Absolutely not. As you said, this is complicated. We can make it very binary, and we can make it good versus bad, right versus wrong, you know, good, evil, or whatever you want. I think that that is simplifying this way too much. There are emotions and feelings and decades of people who have no vitriolic bones in their body, who have no negative feelings toward Native Americans. That doesn't mean that the name is correct or right or should be the name 20 years from now. You and I talked about this within the last year, and I remember saying, this name will not be the name when I'm a grown man, you know, at 40 or 50 years old. It's just not going to. Look around you. So you can either, if you're Dan Snyder, be part of this change and get it right and still essentially be viewed as the guy who changed the name, or you can be dictated to and told to, and history will remember that that's how it went down. But I don't believe people who say that they'll just leave this team if they change the name. I don't think that that's true for a second.
I was contacted. I have a very good friend who lives out west who said it's not fun for him anymore if they change it. And I get that. I understand that. Now, I don't know.
What has been fun about the last 25 years for him that would change?
It's a great question.
How is that any different?
I don't know. I mean, his memories and associations.
And by the way, that's my next point. That guy, what's his name? Just give me his first name.
Pat.
Pat, okay. Pat has been a Redskins fan dealing with whatever this was for the last 30 years, right? And he's just worn it. He's taken it on the chin like an MMA fighter in the cage who's bloodied and battered and bruised. People have been leaving left and right, by the way. They've stopped watching because they're terrible. They've stopped watching because they lost for so long, or because another team was more fun, or the Ravens got exciting, or they liked Pat Mahomes,
or their
fantasy team was more important. So add it to the pile. I mean, if people are going to check out because of this, add it to the pile, as far as I'm concerned. And people have been checking out for years.
Yes, but his point basically is, when I see the logo, when I hear the team name, when I see the uniforms, I can still remember the association with the past. If they cut that off, then you're basically telling me, you know, and this is his perspective. I don't necessarily agree with this, but I understand what he's saying. You're basically saying, nope, we're doing something new. We're doing something else. And now you just have a bad football team with a bad owner that's not going anywhere, that his partners can't even stand, who's basically incompetent in this role even after two decades, has seemed to have learned nothing in over the course of his ownership. So I understand. I mean, again, my point here is, while I don't necessarily agree with that, I mean, I think he'll still watch the game, but just won't have the same rooting interest maybe they did before. I understand people that don't necessarily, you know, stand out front and you know, do a slow clap simply because this is happening. I guess that's my only point.
Yeah, I'm not going to a party when the name gets changed because the name finally changed. I think there are three groups, as I've been saying for a while. Mm-hmm. People who want the name changed. People who don't want the name changed are going to be upset if it happens. And then the third group that I've belonged to for a while, which is, yeah, I probably think the name should change, and if I was in charge, maybe I would have changed it already. I'm not going to be at a rally. You know, I'm not going to go pick it outside the stadium to change the name. It's not personal necessarily in the sense that I think there are enough reasonable people on both sides, and there's been enough polls that say certain things that it could continue the way that it was, and I don't necessarily think that that is the same evil as some of the other things going on in the country. But would I have preferred to have either seen the name change? Am I okay with it? Am I going to be upset? No, not necessarily. I'm not going to be upset. It's going to do nothing to alter my enjoyment of the entire process. It'll be a little bit sad, nostalgically, just my memory sitting down watching with my mom and every single year at Christmas asking for Redskin stuff and running down the steps to see, you know, my presence in the corner of the room and all the different Redskins things that I saw poking out of stockings and paper, you know, wrapping paper. That's gone forever. But it's something new now. 800-636-1067 is the number. All right, we'll get to the phones next, I promise. We'll hit them hard. G&D on the Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan, the flagship home for the Caps and the Nats. By the way, we got to get back into the Mike Rizzo statement at some point next hour, because pretty stunning development in Major League Baseball. The Nationals today canceled their workout. Rizzo calling out Major League Baseball saying, listen, you guys got to get this together. We took tests on July 3rd. We haven't gotten the results back yet. I can't put my players and staff at risk when we don't know who tested positive or negative for COVID-19 3 days ago. So they just outright canceled today's workout, and they said that the season could be in jeopardy if Major League Baseball can't make this system more efficient, get these results back quicker. But right now we're gauging your reactions to the Redskins' name change. It seems like it's happening, and we certainly can't speak, I guess, with 100% conviction, but anybody who's been following the last 72 hours of this story knows that it very much seems like the Redskins are going to have a new name within the next year. Ron Rivera has even made it sound like it's possible that it could happen before the start of the season. I'm not quite buying that. Let's go to the phones and see what you guys think. Paul is in Alexandria. Are you surprised with the speed that all of this seems to be happening at after years of really no movement in any direction?
Well, the civil unrest obviously made this more paramount now. But also, Dan Snyder has been his worst PR person ever. I mean, he's 100%. Lied about it. He's fabricated. Well, the name, you know, when he said it was the Redskins was a name for the honor of the Native Americans, it was not. It was named George Preston Marshall took that name because his team, which was then the Buffalo Braves football team, moved to Fenway Park. And in order to avoid any conflicts with the Red Sox and the Braves, he changed it to the Redskins. And that was the name that was stuck when they came here to Washington. Now, and so it's been a bit of a public relations nightmare. Now, just to go historically speaking, after the JFK assassination, sports announcers and the media only referred to the Cowboys. They never used the name Dallas, and that was pretty much the norm for the last five or six years later after the assassination. So they always used the term Cowboys when describing the Dallas Cowboys, never used the word Dallas. And I just think, lastly, I think a good name for the new team or for the new name would be the Washington Federals. Keep it with the red, white, and blue. Keep all the four teams with those colors, and we could say, hey, we're going to the Feds game or the Federals game. That's all I can say.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the call. What's your thought on the color part of this? Because this is something that I'm fascinated by. So
me too.
You change
yeah.
the name, you change the logo. Those two things go hand in hand, obviously. And if, you know, Redskins is inappropriate and the Native American on the helmet is inappropriate, you get rid of those two things. Do you keep the burgundy and gold? A, it's a good look. B, to keep something from your past, something from your history so that it feels like the same team. Or do you just outright change everything? A la the last time a team that didn't change locations changed its name and logo, which was in Houston when the Oilers, in Tennessee rather, when the Oilers went to the Titans. Remember, they were the Oilers for a couple years when they got there. Then they went to right. the Titans. They changed the logo and the name, and they just had a completely new look. Because I've wrestled with this the last couple days. I think ultimately I probably want to stay burgundy and gold to keep something from a pretty rich, proud tradition. But there's a movement in town that says all of our teams, like Pittsburgh, black and gold, could be one kind of red, white, and blue look, so to speak.
I could see both there. And I know the fact that I'm equivocating is probably frustrating. I generally just think because you've got near 100 years of burgundy and gold, that matters. And that's at least a nod to folks that have wonderful memories, right? If you do something slightly different with name, logo, et cetera, I get that. I get why it's happening. Whatever, I can deal with that. But if you rip that off too, it's basically like telling this older part of the fan base, basically my age and up, you guys don't really matter. We're just sort of catering to a new thing, you know? And that's how it would feel, whether that's the intention or not. No one's going to be happy with every part of this. People are going to complain no matter what it is at this stage, right? But to me, I think I'd instinctively lean towards keeping the burgundy and gold and having that every Sunday, at least that part be comfortable, even as I'm trying to get used to calling them something different. But I could see it. I could see all the teams in D.C. just being branded red, white, and blue. It certainly worked for the Nationals. They got some pretty sharp uniforms. I mean, when the Caps went away from that teal nonsense, same with the Wizards, with that weird yellow for years, with the black shorts and stuff, it's just better. D.C., red, white, and blue makes a lot of sense. But the Redskins are their own case, and keeping them burgundy and gold is probably where I'd lean.
Well, I also think that getting this right is so massive. If you go to the Wizards, people will be longing for the Bullets for years and years and years. You can't pick a bad name, and you can't pick a bad look, right? Now, luckily, the Wizards have gotten it more right now as they've gone more back to the traditional garb. But if you do something awesome, like the Washington Valor, people joke it was the Arena Football League team that won a championship with a bad record and made the playoffs when four teams were in the league and won the title. They had a great jersey, great red, white, and blue jersey, really good look. The D.C. Defenders in town, red, white team that had a really cool kind of old school look to them. So I can see how you can get it right and have a new look that excites people, but I would probably rather stick burgundy and gold mm-hmm. to not just appease some of the fans who are going to be, not upset, but sad. Some of the people that are losing so much, but also to throw it back to and pay homage to some of the players that came before you through over the years that were a big part of this organization. I think you got to move on from the things that are bad. You don't have to move on from everything. You know, move on from the things that are not up with the times. The color is fine. But I'd be curious to see what people think about that. 800-636-1067. We're taking your calls reacting to massive news in D.C. as it looks like the Washington Redskins will be changing their name. We're Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.